Well, Jay, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thanks,
and
Bert.
Next up, Quinn DeVoe. He's in the house. He's going to be part of the show next week. Let's play a little Quinn and get him in the studio. Here's Quinn DeVoe in the Blue Beat Review.
Castle's empty, babe, the king is still at home, setting out his trophies in a pyramid on the lawn. Just the weight of traveling, babe, heavy upon his song. Castle's made of echoes, king gonna wear his crown. He's a carved up park bench with a street lamp shining down. Just the weight of traveling, babe, heavy upon his sound. babe, the taste of wine is strong. Very soon he'll stumble away from where he's lingered long. Just the weight of traveling, babe, heavy upon his song. Just the weight of traveling, babe, heavy upon his song.
Welcome to a very special edition of Blues with a Feeling. Going to go over today till 12:30, and sitting here with somebody I wanted to get on the air for a very, very, very long time. A local Bay Area artist, Quinn DeVoe. His band is the Blue Beat Review, and that's who we just heard. And Quinn, I'm going to let you tell the story. Welcome to KZSU, first of all.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Oh, man, thank you. You're going to be part of that Little Easy Festival next Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
And if I'm not mistaken, is that your first South Bay appearance?
It is, yeah. It's our debut in the South Bay, and, you know, we're opening up new doors.
Definitely. You've been making some noise in the Bay Area. 2013, you put out two CDs. Uh-huh. You had a CD before that, but you've been playing with some real heavyweights up in the East Bay and San Francisco, the likes of LaVey Smith and her band, not playing with that band, but doing shows with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Steve Lucky and the Rumba Bums, mm-hmm. and some other folks. And you're also connected to a friend of ours, the California Honey Drops.
That's right. Yeah.
Matter of fact, that was Les Wozinski on trumpet.
Yeah, that's right. And he sang the backup vocals, too.
Yeah, the family gets smaller. The family gets bigger and bigger, but it gets more connected all the time.
Right.
Quinn DeVoe, where are you from originally?
I'm from outside of Chicago. I was born in Gary, Indiana, and I was raised in Gary and Portage and just that whole up in the region, they call it.
Uh-huh.
Region.
Jackson 5. They're
Janet,
from Gary.
Michael. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lonnie Brooks tells stories about he'd be playing a club in Gary, and here comes Dad with the little kids before they got known.
Uh-huh.
And Dad walked in with the kids and said, "Can they sit in?"
Right.
And Lonnie Brooks is going, "This is a blues club, man. What are you doing?" No, before he got him on Motown.
Uh-huh. That's
funny. Yeah, what a story. You come from some hallowed ground. How did you make it to the Bay Area? Well, first of all, how did you start in music? What was your background in that?
You know, I didn't, my grandma was a jazz singer back in the day, back in the 30s. What? Or
really?
Yeah. But,
grow up with her? Did you know her?
I did. I grew up, I was pretty close to my grandma. Yeah. And so, we were just always in the music, you know. She made me take piano lessons, which of course I hated, you know, of course I wish I would have kept it up, you know.
Did she tell you about her life as a jazz singer?
A little bit, but you know, she was kind of, you know, once she kind of gave it all up to start a family and, you know, sort of praise God and that kind of thing. And so
sure.
She kind of made a distinction between that part of her life and the rest of her life, you know, so she was pretty tight lipped about it, but you know, we heard a little bit about it.
Interesting.
It's a different scene, you know, but she just kind of, you know, I don't know if she felt guilty about it or what.
Did she record it all?
No recordings. No, there was a moment where she was, you know, the classic sign on the dotted line. And she, you know, chose to get married instead. She's like, oh, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah. So,
man, did you find out any other background on her, like some guy she might have played with or anything,
you know,
like that?
I had never dug up about that. No, man.
Was it in that area where you grew up?
It was in
Indiana,
Ohio.
Chicago?
It was in Cleveland. Yeah, it was all around. Like, she played in Cleveland and Chicago. Once she moved there, East Chicago. My uncle, he used to own a club in East Chicago, and I can't remember the name, but, you know, Muddy played there. Howlin' Wolf played
there.
Yeah, he was a pretty, his name was Tojo.
Your uncle.
My uncle Tojo. And and I wish I could remember the name, but he had a club in East Chicago, and, man, he got all the names. I mean, I wish I'd have been, you know, oh, man.
Amazing.
Just to be.
Now, did you know him?
I knew Tojo a little bit. When I knew him, by the time I knew him, he had a fake leg, and, you know, he had diabetes and lost his leg and everything. And so he was just kind of my scary uncle with the wooden leg, you know, the half pirate, you know. I wasn't hitting him up for stories.
But
not to mention, you know, I wasn't really into music back then. I was a little kid. I didn't, you know, I listened to, you know, the Chipmunks and stuff like that.
Let's get on to that, too. Let's go from there to here in the sense that what. Was there a moment, or was it just a gradual thing, or what led you in? You play guitar, you sing, you lead a band. How did you get here, man?
Well, you know, it's the kind of thing, you know, like play, you know, play is work, you know. It's and so me and my sister, we would always sing, we would always do harmonies, we would always write songs, even though we didn't know we were writing songs. You know, you just change the words to, you know, Inspector Gadget or whatever, and then you're writing a song, you know.
Sure.
So I had just always been doing that, And I got a guitar, I don't know, when I was 16 or 17. I got into the Doors for a while, and I loved the way Robbie Krieger played with his fingers, and he just got such a great sound. So I that's when I got a guitar, but I didn't really start playing for about, you know, 5 or 6 years when I first heard Muddy. And that's really when it took off. And I went to college in Washington State, so I was driving from Indiana to Washington, and I just got this live Muddy record called... Muddy Waters, Hoochie Coochie Man. And it was just a live show with him and Otis Spann and, you know, all the cats. And man, you know, I pulled over on the side of the road and I just listened to the record all the way through. And I was just, you know, just anywhere from tears to just, you know, elation to I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, it changed my whole scene, you know. And then also on that trip, I had also got a Bo Diddley CD. So I'd never heard that before. So I busted that out. That you know, that was a whole other thing, you know.
Sure. That is another
world. I couldn't believe I was hearing, you know.
Right. Bo was from another planet.
Yeah, yeah. So it was quite a trip. So by the time I landed in Washington, I you know, wanted to be a guitar player.
Now, so you did end up going to college.
I did, yeah. I graduated from the Evergreen State College, the hippie school.
What did you study?
I didn't really study, man. I played guitar. I didn't study guitar, but I played guitar. And, you know, I mostly just hung out. But, you know, yeah, I'm glad I had that time to you know, start to play. And, you know, I met some musicians there and, you know, just kind of got into that whole, you know, thing. I you know, I did end up graduating with a creative writing degree, but that was, you know, they just wanted to get me out of there, you know.
Well, that probably helps the songwriting, though.
Yeah, sure.
Creative writing,
yeah,
sure.
Sure, yeah.
Quinn DeVoe's the guest right now. He's going to be part of the Little Easy Backyard special next week at the Poorhouse Bistro. And, Quinn, you got a band around town. You've been, what, is it 10 years? Is it, how long have you been playing here in the Bay Area?
I've been playing, yeah, about 10, 11 years I've been playing. I was in a blues band, then I was in a band with Lesh from the Honey Drops, the Blue Roots, and then I was solo for a while, and I still do solo stuff a lot, but I've been doing the Blue Beat Review for about maybe 4 years.
Yeah. Starting to make some noise. And what did bring you to, did you come to San Francisco, to Oakland, or what brought you to the Bay?
To Oakland, yeah. I just met some folks I was living outside of Seattle in this little crummy town, called Issaquah. And, I just had to get out of there. I didn't know where I wanted to go. So I met some folks and they invited me to come stay with them in Oakland. So I did. And, this couple and I came to, I mean, you know, as soon as I got to Oakland, I was in love. You know, it was just,
hell of a town.
Yes, yeah, it's mellow, but it's also, there's stuff going on and, you know. It's
you know Johnny Talbot?
I don't know Johnny Talbot.
You meet him. He lives in Oakland. Okay. Ask Lesh about him. But Johnny Talbot he invented funk in Oakland.
Oh, right on.
A long time ago. And he's always said, Oakland is the blues town. San Francisco is a jazz town.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. See, I'm an A's fan. That's the difference. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the A's, people don't even go to A's game. Man, A's, they're number two. They were number one.
Yeah.
People don't even go to the game, man.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
That's the blues right there.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know.
Billy Ball.
Right.
They made a movie about it.
They sure did, man.
And he's still there.
Because it's an underdog story, and it always will be, and those are the best stories.
That's
you know?
Right.
People want to be the Giants, but the best story is the A's.
There you go.
You know?
Quinn DeVoe is the guest. You can catch him around town, folks. Look for his name, Quinn DeVoe, in the Blue Beat Review. But you can catch him next week for sure at the Poorhouse Bistro as part of the Little Easy, going on about 11:45 in the backstage. Let's play another one off one of the. You got three CDs out now. Two came out in 2013. You had one before that. This one we're going to play off called The Originals. What are we going to hear from, Quinn?
So this is a tune called Kids on Fire. And I wrote this LaVey Smith's piano player, Chris Siebert. He's been playing with us for a long time. And we just wrote this song about him. You know, he's the kid.
Here it is on KZSU.
Come and go,
come and go,
come and go, child,
come and go,
come and go,
come and go,
where I'm bound,
where I'm bound,
come and go,
come and go,
come on, darling,
come and go,
come and go,
come and go,
Lord, where I'm bound.
Quinn DeVoe and the Blue Beat Review. In case you haven't seen them, they're going to be at the Poorhouse Bistro next Saturday, starting at 11:45. They're part of that 10-band review. It'll be all day long. You can also catch Quinn DeVoe. Quinn, you mentioned that you're open at the Great American Music Hall. It's a little ways off, about a month.
That's right, October 18th.
And you're going to be opening for some of your friends there, so you'll be the first band on that night, right?
That's right, yeah. It's Quinn DeVoe and the Blue Beat Review, and then Megan Slankard at Great American Music Hall, October 18th.
That's very cool. And Quinn's going to be my guest. We're going to go over today. We're going to go into 12:30 right up to football, so keep it locked. And Quinn, once you got to the Bay Area, how did you get around to meet these folks and really ensconce yourself in the scene? How did you hook up with you? You made great hookups. You know all the right people.
Yeah, you know, it's just playing a lot, man. It's just kind of getting out and you know, meeting folks. And sometimes you want to go home after the show, but you know, you kind of hang out. You know, you make yourself hang out and talk to folks you know, yeah. If you like someone's playing, you know, get to know them.
So what'd you do? You just went around and hit all the venues when you first got here? Where'd you go? Like the Freight and the Ashkenaz and Great American? Do you go like that? Cross the bridge? Or
Yeah.
Hanging
in
Oakland?
The Freight and the...
Because Oakland doesn't have a blues scene anymore like it used to. It's kind of an underground scene.
Right.
With some local guys, but it's not really real publicized.
Well, you know, I met some of the guys over at Eli's Mile High Club, which isn't really, I think now it's even.
Yeah.
It's like a tattoo parlor bar.
Yeah.
I think they have some like poor boys there. Like it doesn't really know what it wants to be. But it's a funny thing because I've actually, Eli's has been a little bit of a, recorded one of my video, actually two of my videos there.
Really,
they're real cool about that. That's where I met Lesh and some of the Honey Drops that there when we
started Eli's.
At Eli's, yeah. So it's a funny little spot. There's definitely, I wouldn't say there's anything going on there, but you know, there's some kind of vibe there maybe where things happen sometimes.
It's hallowed ground.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
Eli owned it, it was a small neighborhood blues club.
Yeah.
Small neighborhood bar.
Right. Right.
And Eli got shot by his wife.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And,
I forgot about that.
And he wasn't the last guy to die in that club.
Right.
And it got picked up by a cat that had come from Fresno, Troyce Key,
uh-huh.
who was a guitar player who had been on American Bandstand.
Uh-huh.
He was a real trip, mm-hmm. kind of a rocker, but a blues guy too. He picked it up and turned it into a real blues club.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became ground zero for Bay Area blues,
mm-hmm.
To the likes where they had a house band with some of the former players of James Brown's band in it.
Mm-hmm.
What
is this, like 70s, 80s? What are you talking about?
Talking late 70s.
Late 70s. Uh-huh.
And then the college kids found it, and mm-hmm. it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And it had an audience, a solid audience. He got more than beer and wine. He got hard liquor. And then you had people like Chuck Berry walking in from a stadium gig
wow.
to play with the house band.
Uh-huh.
James Cotton would walk in.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody came in. Bobby
right.
Bland. And they had the house band 5-6 nights a week. And then guests of the house band would be Jimmy McCracklin,
uh-huh.
Lowell Folsom,
uh-huh.
Percy Mayfield. And if you probably heard of Paris Slim. Maybe you haven't.
No.
French kid who moved here in 81,
uh-huh.
became part of the house band. He led the house band and played behind all those guys.
Wow.
If his name, real name is Frank Goldwasser. Well, anyway, I get off the track here. We're talking to Quinn DeVoe. He's our guest. And the fact that you mentioned Eli's Mile High, and it's not ground zero anymore. But it's funny.
Right.
Maybe it's turning back into it.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's certainly, you
well,
know,
the fact that you said it had a
role
vibe.
In my life. You know.
Troyce died. He got some kind of rare something and died. We had a benefit for him before he died.
He didn't get shot, though.
No. He didn't get killed. But the night that they reopened it, the guy who ran Biscuits and Blues at the time, about mm-hmm. 10 years ago, tried to reopen Eli's, and within a week or two, a guy was shot or stabbed right outside the door and
wow.
fell just inside the doorway. And that became the death knell for that form of the,
wow.
that Eli's right then.
That was the end.
Well, the guy who reopened it pretty much had to let it go and walk away.
Oh,
and then some
like
kids,
Meredith Hunter.
Something.
In the 60s.
Kids got it, turned it into a goth club, then
right.
turned it into a punk club.
Right.
And then you say now what they shoot videos there, and it's a tattoo parlor. It's got a vibe. It's got a vibe.
It's a spot. Yeah.
It's 12 o'clock. You're in tune to KZSU Stanford. We're talking to Quinn DeVoe of the Blue Beat Review. You can catch him next week at the Poorhouse Bistro San Jose at 11:45 in the morning. Quinn, we got another song queued up. We want to make sure it's the one. And let's just go ahead. And it is. Yeah, it is that one. We think this is the song Good News. You want to set this up?
This is a Sam Cooke tune.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Here it is.
No, this is not.
All right. Okay.
This is good, though. This is muddy.
Quinn DeVoe and the Blue Beat Review. You can catch them at the Poorhouse Bistro next Saturday. They're going to start at 11:45, be part of that 10-band review. But right now, Quinn, we got you to bring your guitar in.
Yeah.
Got you got a box sitting on your lap. I think it's time that we go ahead and hear some Quinn DeVoe live at KZSU. You ready, Quinn?
Oh, yeah.
Do your thing, man.
Around your mother, she's a cold blood hound, and your high yellow father surely isn't gonna stick around. You've been knocked round plenty till you can't hardly stand, and every dime or penny walk the ragged mile to reach your hand. Ain't the blue sky above us, ain't the earth made of stone. Starting to get that feeling, Lord, we got to make it on our own. You can rest your guitar from a grave so deep. Matter what you selling, they only want the saddle from your seat. Ain't the blue sky above us, ain't the earth made of stone. Starting to get that feeling, Lord, we got to make it on our own. Oh, baby. Feeling, Lord, we got to make it on our own.
That's Quinn DeVoe, local Bay Area talents. You can catch him around town. Look for his name, but we're not going anywhere right now either. Quinn, you said that it was the muddy waters and the Bo Diddley that really bit you when you first got bit with that bug, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm hearing some other stuff in there. Are you hip to Big Bill Brunzy?
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
I'm hearing Big Bill in there, man. He was. You got that kind of feel. Did Big Bill affect you at all when you heard him?
You know, I mean, I came on Big Bill the same way. You know, Lomax did. You know, I listened to, you know, I mean, I heard the Robert Johnson stuff and I was getting away into that. Then I heard the story about how they were looking for Robert and found Bill instead.
Uh-huh.
So then I found Bill. I had some time with
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, he's had a real effect on you because. Yeah.
The Hey Hey Blues, you know.
Play that. Hey, 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 baby, hey. Hey, 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 baby, hey. I love you, babe, but I sure ain't gonna be your dog. Hey, 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 baby, hey.
Hey, 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 baby. Down on me, child, and all I can say is hey. Hey, hey, lost your good thing now. Hey, hey, lost your good thing now. Had me fool, find it out somehow.
Quinn DeVoe from the Blue Beat Review, right here live on KZSU. You doing that Big Bill, man.
Oh, man.
You really absorbed something from him.
He's a monster, yeah.
Talk about some of the other influences, because when you get bit by that blues bug, you had to, I know you went down the alphabet and went, all right, I want to hear from all of them.
Who
sticks out in your mind?
Well, in terms of blues, I mean, you know, it's more like, you discover the labels, at least in the old days, you know, like when you get in the Chess and you realize that Bo and Muddy come from the same, you know, label. And then, you know, of course, we just not even talk about Chuck. I mean, that's a whole thing.
Right.
But, you know, when you get into the Etta James and just, and, you know, just everything that was going on over there and Little Walter and everything.
Yeah.
But then you jump over to Atlantic, you know, then that's a whole other. So,
yeah.
Ray, probably second to Muddy is Ray. I mean, just, you know, just, you know, what can I say?
Right.
I mean, you know, I can learn his progressions, you know, for the rest of my life and be happy.
He was a genius.
Yeah, absolutely.
And influenced everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Piano. That was him on piano on all the early Guitar Slim stuff.
Oh, that's right. Okay. On the early Guitar Slim. Okay.
Yeah, it was not just Ray the band leader, but Ray the sideman. I think he arranged the things I used to do. And that was him on piano.
Oh, I didn't
and
know
then
that.
A lot of your early Percy Mayfield was Ray in the band backing Percy up, because Percy was his songwriter. So a lot of
I got to go back and listen to that now. Listen again.
It's so deep, man.
Yeah,
it's so deep. But mention some more names of some of these guys that maybe either play guitar or sang.
Well, Sam Cooke, of course. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, everybody knows the You Send Me and all these things. But once I got hip to the gospel stuff, I mean that's where I'm at now, and maybe we'll never leave, you know, because the gospel stuff is just, you know, there's something about the way, particularly the old style, people singing gospel, it's deeper than a love song, you know, it's deeper than, you know, because they believe in a way that is, it's more than your baby leaving you and these, you know, which hurts, you know, of course, you know, it's deep, but when you're talking about the Lord, when you're talking about, you know, it's life and death, you know. It's like,
well, and it's from joy too. It's from a joyful spot,
right?
Not a downtrodden spot.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why they probably sing more powerful.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. So, yeah, the Soul Stirrer stuff. I can't say enough about this. Stars of Bethlehem is another great one. You know, the Highway QCs and all that kind of stuff.
So you've discovered gospel music.
Oh man, yeah, big time, big time.
Amazing. And do you listen to it a lot?
I mean, you know, I listen to...
You listen for those great singers.
Yeah.
Clarence Fountain from the Five Blind Boys.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
About 20 years ago, they had a major thrust in their career, and they started touring blues clubs. So I guess he got a manager or something. We got to see them at night in blues clubs here on the peninsula. And they actually built a special stage for them where they had a runway out from the stage where they could walk out there. These are blind guys, too. And we got to see them in a nightclub having drinks. We're having drinks watching this powerful gospel band, right? And they didn't mess around. And then they would pull out some secular stuff, too, and just kill it. You know, they don't tour like they used to because they're older and there's some different guys.
Right.
But if you get a chance to see any of those guys,
definitely,
it'll change your life. It'll change your life. But in your guitar approach, you're not a classic electric guitar playing kind of guy. I know you play electric guitar. You got a Fatbox electric right now, but Fatbox acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. But your approach on guitars, I think it sounds more like a kind of a Big Bill style than it does like a BB or a Muddy.
Sure.
Speak about how you related to the guitar once you heard Muddy and once you started really getting into the blues, finding out about all the guys.
Yeah. When I first started off, I played a lot of slide. You know, I don't play slide hardly any anymore, but... For the first few years,
a lot of Elmore James, a lot of J.B. Hutto.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I played a lot of the Elmore James stuff, and I just really wanted to get sort of Muddy's, just touch slide, just the way that he played with it, man. And
eerie.
And Robert too. At some point, I got more into, like John Hurt and I got into the idea of just, going back to the Doors, like playing, different kinds. I'm into playing with my fingers, man. My drummer sometimes tries to get me to, get a pick, I do sometimes, I just think that it's more, I can feel what I'm doing. And it's like a voice. There's nothing between me and the microphone, so I don't want anything between my fingers and the guitar.
That's amazing because that's the exact opposite of what most contemporary guys, how they relate. Because a pick, you can get louder,
right?
And you can pick more things. It's harder to play with your fingers, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you don't have that crisp sound,
right?
But it is more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know the real blues guys all play with their fingers.
Yeah.
Whether it was electric or acoustic.
Yeah. And I'm just a backwoods, I'm from Indiana. I just kind of identify with it more, because that's the way I write too. So when you write that way, you just want to keep playing the tunes that way, if I write something with a pick, then fine, but a lot of the writing I do ends up being, just with my hands. So.
Quinn DeVoe is a guest. If you just tuned in, he's going to be part of the Little Easy Review. He's going to have the Blue Beat Review, his band. He's going to be part of the Little Easy Backyard Party next week at the Poorhouse Bistro in San Jose. And let's do this. Let's play another song off one of your CDs. This is number 4 up on top from the originals. Set this tune up.
This tune is called Pale Angel, and it's just about an ex-girlfriend of mine.
Sweet hereafter, you can't run from the thing inside you. We're lesbians at a cocaine party, trying to finish every line they started. Yeah. Here upon the ground.
That's Quinn DeVoe right there. And remember, in about 10 minutes, the pregame to the football game is going to come on. We're going to turn that on for you. But in the meantime, we're talking to Quinn DeVoe. And Quinn...
Go Cardinal.
Thank you. Quinn, man, you've got this very unique feel that... Man, it came, I guess you got bit by Muddy and Bo Diddley and all the other guys too, but it's, I don't hear, you got a different kind of a feel as opposed to contemporary guys coming up in the blues. You've managed to pull in other influences, like you were talking about, Sam Cooke.
Mm-hmm.
And the Doors probably have something to do with this too. You said you were listening to them as a kid, right?
Sure, man. Yeah. Big Doors fan. And then, you know, there's the New Orleans stuff, too. I mean, once I, you know, Huey Piano Smith and all that, Chris Kenner, I just like good music, you know. It's
so you listen to a lot, don't you?
I do. I listen to a lot of music. Yeah.
And does the radio play a part in any of that?
Sure. Yeah, man. Yeah. I, you know, mostly, you know, like stations like this, like college radio or, you know, I'm way more into like the sort of the underground stuff, you know, the community radio and, you know, because they just have more freedom to play. I don't know. I
non-commercial.
Yeah. It's just kind of, I don't know what's going on at the major, you know, there's a lot of, well, let's not talk about the music business.
Well, in non-commercial radio, what we like to say is commercial radio doesn't suck your commercial radio doesn't suck. It sucks your brains.
Right.
But you've got CDs out, and there's obviously a website, and it looks like you made your own label.
That's right. Yeah, QDV.
That's very good. That's kind of the new wave amongst folks in your age bracket.
Well, there's just nothing being offered, you know. I just read I read Graham Nash's book, you know, about the 70s and you know, back when they were just throwing money at bands. You know, it's like, "Oh yeah, you know, we kind of that's interesting what you're doing. Here's 75 grand. Just, you know, explore, you know, see what happens." You know, of course you owed them that money.
Exactly.
But the thing is that there was money, you know, being thrown around, you know,
right,
to experiment, you know, with Ben. You got all these bands, you know.
And it wasn't even that they gave him money. They just said, "Come on down to the studio." They owned their own studio.
Right.
And of course they charge him for the studio time.
Right.
And you got to get with the greatest producers.
Right.
And they take you under their wing and they
great
go
great musicians, you got access, you know.
Oh yeah, let's see
just
your
to
song.
See what happens.
Yeah. And the records reflected it. I mean, they did some stuff that was great, and they did some stuff that was really weird too.
But you know that's how it's supposed to be. That's what's happening in television right now. Is they're leaving people alone. You know, they're telling people to do what they love and make something that's unique, and it works. You know, so
if it sells, they'll keep doing it.
It works and it doesn't work.
Yeah, as long as it sells, it keeps going. But this new wave of you guys, like you, the California Honey Drops, LaVey Smith. And a whole bunch of other bands, I'm sure, guys that you know around the country. Mm-hmm. And you do travel, don't you?
That's right, yeah. I just traveled all over the U.S. This whole summer I was gone. I did everything, except for I didn't do the Southwest, but I did, you know, Texas and New York and New Orleans.
Now, how do you book that? Do you have an agency, or do you do that?
Most of it I book on my own, but I get some help from, you know, friends or, you know, different folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the economy being the way it is, back in the 90s, when there was a lot of money around, guys had buses, guys had vans. I know guys are making 80 grand a year touring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All that dropped out in 08.
Mm-hmm.
The big crash, a lot of clubs went away,
mm-hmm,
and it was left to you guys of your age bracket to come back and kind of reinvent it.
Right.
And when you say you were gone all summer, that's a big feat to be able to pull off.
Yeah, man.
You know, like staying places, being able to pay for your hotel bills,
right,
being able to pay for your gas, being able to eat, get gig to gig, play enough in the week.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't have down days on the road.
Right.
Every down day costs you double.
Oh, yeah.
Because you didn't make any money. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so you took the entire Blue Beat Review out for the summer?
No. I went out for the summer solo. And the reason I did that is because I wanted to, well, financially, certainly,
sure.
But you know, there was a lot of, almost every town I went to, I'd never been to before. The worst thing in the world is bringing a 7-piece band into a town and the venue sucks. And you find out, they say, "Hey, by the way, guys, this place sucks." So,
and there ain't no rooms and you ain't
no
getting
rooms,
fed.
And I got 6 kids with me. You know, I got the mouths to feed. I got little birds in the nest, you know, all looking for worms, you know. So, I sort of went on a scouting mission. I'm going out again in October, November to some spots that I
solo.
Yeah, solo. And then I'm going to bring the band in the spring, you know, by that time. But But yeah, no, it's a feat, man. You have to take a loss, you know,
sure.
And, you know, or have a benefactor or something, because, you know, but if you're bringing the word to the people, then they'll appreciate it and they'll want you to come back.
And are you doing a lot of opening act kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Opening act. You know, sometimes it would just be me, and, you know, some places have built in crowds or whatever. Just, I mean, you know, I played some really great shows in Houston. I opened for these fire dancers, you know, that was a great show. It was just outside and these fire, you know, the best thing about fire dancing is watching kids watch fire dancers. Because they're just like shocked. Like,
yeah,
of course. It's just magic to
blown
them.
Blown away. Yeah. What a trip.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Yeah.
You've kind of reinvented it.
And what's
funny is when Big Bill came up, mm-hmm. they were playing logging camps.
Mm-hmm, right.
They were playing they were playing nightclubs.
Yeah, right.
Music back then came up in whorehouses.
Right.
There was a piano in a whorehouse.
Right.
And then a guitar player would show up.
Right.
And if you got to the city, there was maybe a beer tavern.
Right.
It wasn't a nightclub.
Right.
And the beer tavern, the owner of the beer tavern, have a piano.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think you're back to square one with that.
Well, I think everyone is. I think we're all, you know, looking for, because music will continue.
Sure.
You know, new music, new artists.
Yeah, it'll find its way through the cracks either way.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can't stop it.
You can't stop it. So we're all, you know, trying to find a way to keep it rolling, which it has to do.
Mm-hmm. That you can catch Quinn DeVoe next Saturday at the Poorhouse Bistro. And look, if you're anybody, you got to show up for this one. 10 bands, Quinn DeVoe and the entire, you get to have the whole Blue Beat Review next week too.
That's right.
And from what I understand from Jay, I think you're going to end up playing there. Well, you got booked in there later on, right?
That's right. Yeah.
November?
We're also playing there, I think in November. Yeah.
That's great.
Poorhouse
Quinn,
Bistro.
I want to thank you so much for coming down today.
Thanks for having me, man.
You're welcome here anytime. And one of these days or nights, we're going to have to get you in the Blue Beat Review live on the studio right here.
All right.
Here,
okay? Let's do it.
We're going out with a song called Good News. Well, the Sam Cooke tune.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Sounds good.
Thanks, man. Thank have a great day. Stand by for football.
Well, my baby. Coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news?
Ain't that
good. Lord, ain't that news?
Ain't that good.
Well, my baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that new?
Ain't that
Lord, ain't that new?
Ain't that
I got a letter just the other day telling me that she was on her way. Yeah, she won't. Ain't that good news?
Ain't that
man, ain't that news?
Ain't that news?
In the letter, she told me she loved me. Ain't that good news?
Ain't that
Lord, ain't that news?
Ain't that
news? In the letter, she told me she loved me. Ain't that news?
Ain't that
Lord, ain't that news?
Ain't that news?
She says she's sorry that she left. Station. Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that news? I'ma have a party at the station. Ain't that news? Lord, ain't that news? I can't wait to get home. Hey, we can finally be alone. Disconnect.
Quinn DeVoe and the Blue Beat Review.